You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, well, here we are, and we're continuing on with our series in Genesis, part 52. And we're in the days of the coronavirus, COVID-19. And looks like perhaps we're going to start work again, at least for some people, starting work again. I've been continuing on with the lectures and so on, teaching online. So let's hope that everything goes well in the state. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, for this opportunity to open the Scriptures and read the Holy Word of God. We pray that it would do a work in our lives, that as we allow the will of God, as we see it written before us, work out in our lives and in the lives of others. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in Genesis, and we have been looking at some of the events surrounding the formation of the nations. And, of course, I think this is fantastic. It's really a place where we can just wax if we wanted to. But I'm most interested in the person of Abraham, because Abraham is the father of faith. And Paul introduces a lot of doctrine related to Abraham, which is latent in the Scriptures, and which he uses in a particular way, which I think is very, very informative and helpful to understand the outworking of God's purposes. And so, you know, we've seen this, that the person of Christ going to the cross at Calvary, the giving of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the calling and commissioning of Paul in Acts chapter 9, and the work of the apostles even prior to this, and then majoring especially on Paul after this time, right to the end of the book of Acts, especially this notable passage, Acts 28:28, where you get this big emphasis here on the fact that the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles, and that the house there that was in Rome was a place where Paul in 2 years could bring anyone in and minister to them. And then, as we have come to understand, that he was then released from jail, he then continued on. At some stage, the revelation of the mystery was given to him. And I'm discovering more and more about this truth as time goes by. But what I'm interested in most of all is trying to understand the nature of the interaction of the Gentile peoples, the Gentiles, how they were brought into faith, and their relationship to the one nation, that is the nation of Israel. And I believe it's very clear that this is the area of great confusion for a lot of people. A lot of people completely confused in their Bible because of the various doctrines, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, what he was doing during this time, the ordinances, the baptism, the Lord's Supper, all of these things going on here. And people really, I think, making some fundamental errors and going off on a tangent, really, taking on stuff which is really not theirs, but really belongs to the nation of Israel. But it's the nature of how Abram works in here that I think is quite fascinating, and we'll be looking at that. So when we come back, way back over here in Genesis chapter 12, we start to see this person, Abram, coming into the picture. Certainly at the end of chapter 11, we see the family under terror. If you go across to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27, it says, "Now these are the generations of Terah." And then it goes on, it says, "Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot." You see, now the whole story is starting to be shown in this family, because these are very famous people. I mean, Abram and Lot, you've heard about those two. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Another famous place, right? Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And then it says in verse 31, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, now look at this, Sarai his daughter-in-law. So you start to see something kind of unusual that's happened here, and that is that Abram here is marrying Sarai, which was his half-sister. Quite an interesting thing that happens here, especially this idea repeats right here in Genesis chapter 12, and then later on we read about in chapter 20 this incident, which I will go through. Now, going over here, I know this is too hard to read, but I'm just pointing this out, that in the Companion Bible, there's great appendix number 29, which talks about the generations of Terah, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's a fantastic lineage and generation, generational picture that goes on there. And I want to look at just a couple of verses in here. If you look at down at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, or Abram, I should say, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, I've given a sermon about this, right? The way that Abram was called is very interesting because he was sidestepped. He didn't leave Ur of the Chaldees and then go straight into the land of promise. No, he didn't do that. He stopped. He stopped at Haran, okay? And like you read in Genesis 11, 31, and Terah took Abraham's son and Lot, the son of Haran, and it says, and went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. See, to go in the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. See, that's kind of an interesting thing. There's a diversion that occurs, and it's only after Terah dies that Abram fulfills this commission that he had to go into this land of Canaan. And it says in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Oh, man, you can see here something quite significant about this person. I will make of thee a great nation. Now, notice something about just the whole way in which this occurs. Right from chapter 11 into chapter 12, you can see that Abram here is chosen. Okay? Now, this idea of being elect is an interesting one, because election relates to a person and can relate to a group. It can relate to a nation. The nation of Israel is the elect nation. And here, what you've got is something interesting, because you've got an elect person here. Okay? So here is an elect person, and this person is being commissioned for a purpose. So there's this choice, and then there's a purpose. And here we're discovering something about this purpose. It says in verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Oh, man, hold the phone here. What's the backdrop? The backdrop here is that you have all of these nations coming together in rebellion against God. And then there is judgment coming on them, okay? And judgment comes on them, and then this person is chosen. This person is chosen to be a blessing to all the nations. Now think about some of the doctrines of Calvinism. Calvinism basically has this idea of the reprobate, okay? So there's the reprobate. We're seeing the reprobate here. So here's a whole bunch of nations which are all reprobate. So they had it, right? Well, no, not at all. Here we have a person, who is to be used of God to bring blessing to all of these nations. Can you see that this whole idea of the reprobate is from outset broken right here in Genesis chapter 12? Because this man, Abram, an elect person, is now going out to, from a Calvinistically bent sort of look, way of looking at this, is sent out to those who are the non-elect and to be a blessing to them. And it goes on, it says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So there it goes. There they leave out of Haran and under this great commission to be a blessing. And as you come down, it says this in verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, now look what he says, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Well, obviously Sarai was a pretty good looking woman, right? And so what is Abram going to do? Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Verse 13, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So what you have here is a concealment. It's not actually a lie, because he did marry his half-sister. And it's a concealment to preserve Abram's life. And as you read on down, verse 14, it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. Notice it doesn't say fair, it says very fair. Obviously, she's a knockout, right? This is a real model, and these men are going to take big time notice of her. And it says, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh in his house. Wow. But where's Abram in all this? You mean you're going to just let this guy just take off your wife, and you're going to get all these gifts for your wife? Man, this puts Abram in a pretty bad light, don't you think? Now, a similar thing happens a little bit later on in chapter 20. If you go across to chapter 20, very interesting things happen here. And it's both disappointing but also encouraging, because it lets you know that you can be used of God even though you have frailties and weaknesses in your life. We all do have weaknesses. This is a serious one. So in chapter 20, it says this in verse 1, and Abram journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. She is my sister. Saving his life again, right? But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And it goes on and describes everything here about what happened. And it says in verse 17, so Abram prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So that's kind of interesting, because right here in verse 5, it says, said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this. Yeah, it's bringing out, in one respect, the innocency of Abimelech, the king, but it also brings out the darkness of the heart of Abram. It brings that up too. And in verse 12 it says this, "And yet indeed, she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife." He further explains this right here. So it's kind of interesting. You see some of Abram's, there's more to do with Abram's sin, right? It comes up that this man, while he is the father of faith, yet there are some faithless acts in his life. And he has to go through a progression before the strength of his faith is confirmed. And so you're going to find, in fact, in Abram's life, there are these... two justifications we're going to find in here. There's going to be two justifications. And one of them is going to be by faith, and the other is going to be by works. And you're going to see that. That comes up in James. So these are very important things that come up, and we need to really hit them hard in due season. Now, when you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 13, it says this, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And my soul shall live because of thee. Well, it's very clear in the scriptures that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You see, the soul is this combination of the breath and the body, and that becomes a living soul. A man became a living soul, the breath and the body. And so it can die. The soul that sinneth it can die. And here it's confirmed again. So man, his nature and his destiny is a very important topic which we have looked at. So this particular picture here of the generations of Terah from the Appendix 19 of the Companion Bible is a very interesting one, because it brings up a lot about the wives and the matter of various aspects of sin is shown in the genealogy, finally coming down to the 12 patriarchs. So this is a kind of important picture. Now, when you look at the whole business of how Abram actually ends up taking a name, it is very interesting, because if you look, for example, in Genesis 17:5, it says this, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." And the introduction here is of this he, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The fifth letter. Five is many times associated with grace and death. And that's interesting that death comes up in there too, because grace through death is the ultimate picture of what Christ did, right? Christ did this. Through death, great grace came. Five is associated in many ways with grace. And so he is put on to Abram's name. Genesis 17:5. "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham." Why? "For a father of many nations have I made." A father of many nations. Oh, this is a cool part of this. This is how Paul gets to use this concept to justify all of this. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dal, He. See, there it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? He's getting this. And so, Abram means exalted father. He certainly was. Abraham, father of a multitude. Very cool. Similarly, you get blessings in relationship to Sarah, because Sarai goes from Sarai to Sarah. Again, the addition of he. Sarai, princely. Sarah, princess. Very interesting. On both of them, he. The letter of grace is stuck on there. Okay, man, that's pretty cool. I think it's cool. And so you see here the blessings to the nations is emphasized through the hair, and I will bless thee that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All families. That's why he got that hair put on there and confirmed later on. Okay, cool. Now, I want to take you now across to a book. Now, this is a big topic, so I'm not going to be able to do all of this today. I think I'll start this today, and we'll hammer it next time, man. So let's go across to this book just before Ephesians, Galatians, then Ephesians. So let's have a look at Galatians, and we're in chapter 3. Now, I've done a study on the book of Galatians, which you can find on YouTube. You can also find it on rightdivision.com, and many more resources on rightdivision.com on this topic. This is a great topic. This is one of the more exciting topics I find in the scriptures. But we have to get to this point. You see, you've got to understand now how it is that God is dealing with the Jew first and is absolutely respecting the covenants and the law and everything else which he gave to this nation. We've seen all these covenants that were given to this nation. And so what you have in chapter 3, and let's see, in verse 1 it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Receive ye the Spirit. You see, these people, when they received the Spirit, man, they received the Spirit. We're talking about manifestation of the power of the Spirit of God through the outworking of the Holy Spirit. And it's very clear it was through faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Verse 3. Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. Now look at it. This confirms what I'm just talking about. And worketh miracles among you. That's another facet of what's going on here, right? These miracles, they were evidential miracles. Things that were a part of the nation of Israel. Man, did you ever see these miracles big time in the history of Israel? Hugely. Manifestation of these things. And it goes on. It says, doeth he by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Now here it comes. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now we've got to go back in Genesis 15 and look at this. But we'll just get to the verse. Know ye therefore that they which are faith, oh, how did you get the Spirit, Galatians? How did you get it? By faith. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, and the Scripture foreseeing. Oh, and the Scripture foreseeing. Boy, that's some book, don't you think? The Scripture foresees, man, that God would justify the heathen through faith. Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel. Oh, man, look at this beautiful Greek word, pro-eu-angelisato. You see, pro, before, you, well, and then you've got a message. So, preached before the gospel. Preached before the gospel. One word, one beautiful word. So it was preached before. Unto Abraham. Whoa! You know, there are some people that try to tell you that this gospel that Paul was talking about was the mystery. They say that this is the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3. They say that this is the mystery of Colossians 1 and 2. No, it's not, my friends. It can't be. Why? Because it was preached before. It was preached before to whom? Unto Abraham. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Oh, man. Well, that's a huge connection, don't you think? why you get the miracles and you get the gospel that was preached before, taking us right back to Genesis chapter 12. Right back to Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Right up to 24. There, you get all of this stuff that's going on connecting into the book of Acts. How on earth are you going to get the mystery which was hidden God doing that? How is that an example of being hid in God? I don't think so, my friends.
No, not at all. And it says this in verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Okay, so what we have is this picture in here that you have the nations who, well, they are the uncircumcised, right? The nations, the uncircumcised. And you'll notice that Abram believed God when he was yet in uncircumcision. He was just like a member of the nations. And what Paul is doing here, as an apostle to the Gentiles, going to the Jew first, he is now giving Jewish reasons why it's possible that Gentiles could get in on all of these promises. And why it is that the Spirit of God would be working with them and performing miracles. How can it be? Because Paul used Abraham, this unique individual he could use that all the Jews can acknowledge as being the father of faith. And he could then show how it's possible that these Gentiles could get in there and participate in promises that would otherwise be associated with Israel. Look what it says as you read further down in that chapter. It says this in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh man, so the whole doctrine that which takes us right back into Genesis and connects the Gentile peoples with promises given to Abraham, he now can say, oh, now you're heirs according to the promise. Heirs. Their inheritance during this time would be related to Israel and their promises. So what you get back here, and Paul goes through this in Romans, is you get this tree and the unnatural graft of the Gentiles into this olive tree, and they're being used to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. Yeah, and they're grafting and they're sucking up all the nutrients from these roots, these really good roots. And the way he can justify their inclusion is by showing, oh yeah, just like Abraham, man. Just like Abraham.
So there's some cool things. Now we need to get further into this, which I will do next time. And I'll take you further into many other aspects of Abraham, which are really cool. Rock and roll, friends. See you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time, Lord. And we pray that You would be with each one, that You bless them as they get excited about the Scriptures and see the tremendous difference between what was the hope during the book of Acts and then what happened later on when the revelation of the mystery, not just a mystery, but the mystery which was hidden God, was given to Paul the prisoner. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions info@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.